Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Good morning, everybody. How are we? Well, enjoyed the summer yesterday, finally. It's nice to feel some warmth finally come back. My yacht is getting ready for sailing, I can tell you that now. I'm very excited about it. I'm going to slightly deviate from my introduction. I will get to it, but I felt God wanted me to say something to all of us at the start. And it really came out of this morning when we were praying in the back room there, and as you were praying about the service, God put a word on my heart, one word, expectation. And as we prayed about the expectation, I felt God wanted me to challenge all of us with this, to come as a church every Sunday with a new heart of expectation of what God can and is going to do through not just this church, but the churches of this nation. And with that expectation come the hope that God's name will be glorified and will be lifted up. Our perspective is not to be based on what we see. And I'm going to be sharing about that in a minute. Our perspective has to be based on what the Word of God says. Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And like Graham said, nothing happens which is out of His control. We live in a time of uncertainty around the world. You just have to turn the news every night and you see things which are sometimes frightening if you look at them with your natural eyes, which start to affect our perspective sometimes. We live at a nation right now which is going to make a very big decision this week, which could have a significant impact. But our perspective has to be on what God says, what His Word says, and what God can and will do. And I felt to really stir us all this morning to remind ourselves that to come with an expectation that God is going to use this church to lift up His name. That salvation will come forth from this church. Healing will come forth from this church. Deliverance will come forth from this church. Why? Because you're sitting right here, right now, and Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's the perspective we as a church must never, ever lose. Because the moment we lose that, that's exactly what the enemy wants us to do, to forget that who is in charge, and it's God. And we are the King, we are His kids, we are His children. We live under His inheritance right now. We have an internal inheritance, but we have an inheritance right now we live under each and every day, which is His grace and His power and His authority. And I just felt to really stir, and I hope it does start to stir your heart of expectation, not just as we finish this year, but as we move into next year, what is God going to use or do with us next year as a church to impact this community and impact this nation? I don't know about you, but that gets me excited. Perspectives are changing very, very quickly. But God's perspective will always be fulfilled. Always be fulfilled. And as I share more in a minute, maybe what I'm saying will put more into context of what I'm saying. Because I'll say this as well, Pastor Hal, as you sat there, I looked over during the worship, and I just felt to encourage you, but it's going to encourage us as a church. Your heart to see this church fulfill God's calling, we've seen nothing yet. And that's what God said to me, you've seen nothing yet. The best of what God is going to do through this church is yet to come. And the things God planted in your heart years and years ago, God said, I will fulfill, but I'm going to go even beyond that. Nothing is going to restrict what my power and my glory will do through this church. And those seeds, those foundations which were laid many years ago, the foundations are deep, the foundations are strong. God said, because of that, my power will flow with significance through this church. And like I said a minute ago, we've seen nothing yet. There's a whole perspective we have not seen. Even Pastor Howe respectfully hasn't seen, because God will always go above and beyond. And I want to encourage us all with that this morning. Let's pray. Father, I thank You, Lord. You are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You are the Alpha, the Omega. You are the Creator of heaven and earth. And Lord, we sit here today before Your throne and we honour You and we worship You. We declare Your name over this nation right now. We declare the name of Jesus over this nation right now. And I pray that, Father, our perspective will never shift from the truth of what Your Word says. Regardless of what our eyes see, Father, I pray that our expectation and our hope in You, God, would be rock solid. that God, you will fulfill everything that you've promised. And that, Lord, salvation will come upon this nation in a way that we have never seen before. That people will turn their ears back to the Heavenly Father and will hear his voice spoken once again loud and clear through us, your church. And I ask you, Father, right now as I share the message you've given me today, that, Lord, you would stir that within all of our hearts, Father. Not our perspective, God, your perspective. And I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. What do you see when you see that photograph? What's the instant thing you think about when you see it? No, say that, Graham. You're right, though. Someone's hanging off the tree for dear life, scared they're going to fall. But if I turn the photograph around the way it's meant to be, it's actually that. It's funny how it changes the perspective totally. That looks scary. That looks like three young guys just mucking around. It's the perspective we look at it. What about this photograph? Uh-oh, any rock climbers here? That's probably what you don't want to see. But I spin it around the right way, and someone's actually laying back on a rock, another guy's just jumping up in the air. Ever taken one of those photographs when you try to change the perspective of what you're seeing? I know I have. All about this perspective. What's the first thing you see? Hand up if you see the rabbit. Hands up if you see the duck. Hands up if you can't see either. I was going to say, we'll pray for you later on. Or this one, and I like this next one. I know some people get really frustrated with this. I couldn't do it at first, but once you get the hang of it, it is awesome. What do you see here? Yeah, I knew I'd get a few little... Anyone struggle to see those photographs or those pictures? You do. Yeah, my wife's shaking her head. It's actually, you're probably hard to do from where you're sitting. It's actually a teapot without a lid on it. I don't know how they do it. I actually find it quite incredible that you can create a picture out of just all these dots. It becomes 3D. Who likes actually looking at those? It's a little bit like Where's Wally, isn't it? You have to keep staring at it until you find Wally. The thing is this. What we see is always based on our perspective. It's our interpretation of what our eyes or what our ears are hearing. And the truth is, in life, that's exactly how we live each and every day. We're always looking at things, making decisions, doing things with work, etc., all based on our perspective. What about this perspective? You know where I'm going with this one? Yeah. You either see a half full glass or you see a half empty glass. Now, I'm not going to ask for hands up here. The optimist sees a half full glass, apparently. The pessimist sees a half empty glass. And so I'm not going to ask for hands up, but what do you see when you look at that? Because it actually can tell an awful lot about who you are as a person. I'll be honest, I've had some times in my life where that glass could be three quarters full and I would have said it was a quarter empty because I had a negative outlook on what was happening. My point being is this, perspective influences our life each and every day. I think that's what God was trying to say to us before as a church, to not allow our perspective to be shifted from the truth of what God's word says. And my hope this morning is, as I share this word, it'll encourage you and all of us to keep our perspective on God. It's an easy thing to say, but it can be sometimes really challenging when our eyes, our ears, our emotions, our mind wants to go off on another tangent. So what is actually perspective? What is it? What does it actually mean? Apart from the artistic perspective, when you've got to sort of do all those drawings in with perspective, etc., what does it actually mean? What's the definition? It's this. A particular attitude towards something, a way of regarding something, or a point of view. And right from the moment we are born, we start to develop a perspective. As a parent, you learn very quickly when your kids get old enough to start saying no, that they're starting to get a perspective you don't like. My girls never did that, just by the way. I just want to point that out. Why do you laugh? All right, maybe a little bit. Part of our role as a parent is actually to help our kids grow and develop their perspectives, a godly perspective, understanding how to do life. What's the perspective we need to have in relation to God? His word, His love towards them, His grace, His salvation. But not just that, also about, you know, how to be just a good person, how to connect and live in a society. We do that through songs. And obviously I'm a muso, and I love music, and my girls love music as well. We've heard many, many songs from, what's his name again? Tegan, you know him. What's your favourite Christian? Colin Buchanan, that's the one. Colin Buchanan. Yeah, I've heard him an awful lot. In fact, I have to get a little truth here, a little secret here. Hope I don't embarrass my daughters here, but they actually still watch Colin Buchanan once a year. They do? There's a DVD he put out called Colin Buchanan's Christmas Album or something like that. And they have a tradition about a week before Christmas. Is it a week? Oh, Christmas Eve. Oh, get my facts right. On Christmas Eve, they sit down and watch Colin Buchanan's Christmas Album. I reckon that is really cool, to be honest. I like that. What about that song? Our God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot... Oh, very good, you know it. Perspective, you learn through music, and I think that's really awesome. But I've got a question for you, and I want you to be really, really honest with yourself, and I mean this quite seriously now. As you sit here, and I want you to answer with your heart, not your head, and I'll explain why in a second. What's your perspective of God? Think about that for a second. What's your perspective of God? The reason why I said to answer with your heart, not your head, is it's really easy to start to sprout off scripture or things we know or truths we know. But our head doesn't always line up with our heart. And it's often our heart which tells the truth before our head, because that's what we base our actions on. Now, I'm not going to ask for any answers here, but what is your perspective of God sitting right here, right now? The common answer I suspect most of us, if not all of us, will say is this. He is our Heavenly Father. He is a creator of heaven and earth, whose Son Jesus died on the cross to reconcile humanity back to Him. And that's a good answer, a totally great answer. That's a great perspective. However, the truth is, we can have different perspectives of God in different areas of our life. What about this perspective, that God is your provider, that He'll provide all your needs? Is that something you have a perspective on with absolute trust, or does that shake you a bit? Or what about His grace, that His grace is given to you unconditionally? His unmerited favour is given to you without any conditions. Do you have that perspective with absolute trust and confidence? I know over the years I've had friends of mine or people I've sat down and, let's say, counselled or whatever, and they've struggled with that perspective. Why would God give His grace to me? Look at what I've done. In fact, I had a young man a number of years ago. I had to speak at a church, to a group of youth at a church, and he was really struggling with his past. He couldn't forgive himself for the things he had done. He never shared with me what he did. He just couldn't say it. And that's fine. I didn't need to know. But when I sat down and I prayed with him, and then God said some words to him prophetically, but I said one thing to him, and it was, I'm sure they weren't my words. I would never think of these things on the spot. I said to him, mate, everyone has a clean future. Your past doesn't have to dictate what your future looks like, because God's grace is there to completely wipe out the past and to give a new hope. He wrote to me out of the blue about, I think it was a month later. I never saw him again. And he wrote to me through a friend of mine who passed on the letter to me. And he said those few words totally changed his perspective on the spot. He realised for the first time that his past didn't have to dictate his future. His perspective changed. And I think that's awesome. I think we all have to be reminded of God's grace sometimes. I know I do. What about God loves you unconditionally, a little bit like grace? Do you struggle with the concept that God actually loves you for who you are, not because of what you do or have done? God loves us not based on our performance. What about the last point? There's so many more I could say, but what about this point? That God is trustworthy and faithful in everything and anything. These are challenging thoughts when you think about it. And trust me, I've reflected these things on my own life as I prepared this message. So if I was going to give this message a title, it's this: Our Perspective or God's Perspective, or God's Perspective. The truth is, our perspective of God can be and will be influenced or affected by so many different influences in our life. These influences either give us a proper biblical perspective or will give us a negative, incorrect biblical perspective on who God really is. There can be so many reasons why those perspectives can be changed, and I could never list them all. But I've got just five here I want to really quickly go over. First and foremost is our interpretation or our theology. Our understanding of what the word really says. The truth of what the word is really saying. It will have a significant influence on our perspective. I've had some amazing opportunities sometimes go and speak in some of the traditional churches, denominational churches, which have never had the prophetic come into their church before. I have to admit, I went in with a certain degree of trepidation, going, my goodness, that's a bit of an expectation to carry there. But it was actually the most wonderful experience as I was able to share my perspective on the Holy Spirit, my perspective on prophecy. Or secondly, influences, the people we hang out with. I think all the teenagers or the younger ones are gone at the moment, but who we hang out with makes a massive difference. We tell that to our kids. The people who influence us, our peers, can significantly change our perspective. Do we hang out with people which build us up or pull us down? The world we live in is going to change our, or try to change our perspective. This nation right now is trying to be forced into a perspective I don't agree with. What about Satan? He will definitely try and change our perspective. He knows he's lost the battle of your salvation, so what's the next thing he'll do? He'll do everything he can to cause you to live a life not what God wants, to live in fear, to live without hope, to live in despair. He will do whatever he can to twist and contort that perspective. Why? Because he lies. In fact, John 8:44, I think it is, uses the term, his native language is lying. He cannot speak the truth. Even our most hardened criminal can speak the truth. Yet Satan cannot speak the truth. It's not within his capability. And last but not least, and there's so many more points I could say, but the fifth one is this: our life experiences themselves will shape our perspective of God. And it's this last point God wants me to particularly focus on this morning. Our life experiences, particularly in the following one: in unanswered prayers or our hopes in God. Why? Because when we get those unanswered prayers, or when those hopes in God get dashed or don't seem to get fulfilled, what often follows suit after that? Discouragement. And that's exactly what the enemy wants to do, to discourage us from living the life God has for us. Have you ever prayed and sought God over something, believing that this was his will and this is what God wanted, only to see it never happen or not happen? Have you ever prayed according to scripture? You've found every scripture you possibly can on that particular topic or subject, and you prayed and said, God, 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 but it didn't appear, and I stress that word, it didn't appear that God actually answered you. I know I have. Have you ever had your trust shaken in God because it didn't work out the way you wanted? And a few years ago, I shared about God's grace over my life when what I thought was going to happen didn't happen. And it shook me. And it did make me lose trust, but God's grace is much bigger. The truth is this: we've all experienced these things in our Christian walk. I'm almost guaranteed there's not one person here at some stage in your Christian walk that hasn't applied one of those points to your life. Because that's just life. That's going to happen. And we get discouraged. Discouragement is a normal human emotion. And emotions are a part of our lives. Obviously, I'm a very unemotional person. You've seen that. But that is. Emotions are a part. I'm only joking there, by the way. Emotions are a part of our life. And discouragement is an emotion. It's going to happen. But it's how we respond to that discouragement at that moment in our lives that's really important. At that moment when we're feeling discouraged, is our perspective being shifted away from the truth, or are we going to keep that perspective on God how we need to? It's that pivotal moment which is really crucial. Last week, Graham spoke on Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 2. And it says this, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us not throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles." The truth is, if we allow discouragement to start to fester in our lives, if we start to allow discouragement to get hold of our hearts, it will become that hindrance. And it will weigh us down, and that's exactly what the enemy wants. That applies to us as individuals, but also applies to us as a church. Regardless of what happens this week, let us not lose our perspective that Jesus is King. Let us not lose the perspective that Jesus is in control. Let us not lose the perspective that everything is under His feet and we live in that inheritance right now. I created this slide. I wouldn't say I'm big on the psychology side of things. I'm not an expert, but this is something that I've experienced in my own life, and maybe some of you will relate to this too. When we do get discouraged, and if we allow it to start to build within our heart and to fester in here, we do start sometimes to lose trust in God. And as we lose that trust, we start to lose that hope. And as we start to lose the hope, it starts to erode down our faith, the faith of what we have been building in our lives through the Word. And that can lead us back in our relationship with God. And then when we feel our relationship with God starting to sort of fall away, we get even more discouraged and we almost start going around this vicious circle. The truth is, I can't stand here today and give you the answer of why it appears God didn't answer what you have prayed. And I'll be honest, I get people sometimes come to me and say, "Mike, can't you just get a word to explain why?" I can tell you, I do, that's the truth. Prophecy is not the Christian Ouija board. It doesn't work like that. I wish I could, but that's not my role. I can't give you that answer to that unanswered prayer and to resolve for you once and for all either a past or present discouragement that you are struggling with or have struggled with. I mean, sometimes I wish I could. I can certainly give you maybe my perspective for my life and what Scripture says, but I can't always give you that magic answer you're looking for. But I can remind us all on these following points and on this perspective which we must never lose. The perspective that the truth of God is our Heavenly Father. The Creator of heavens and earth is our Father. The perspective that as the Creator of heaven and earth, His love can never be separated from us. It can never be removed from us, regardless of the circumstances that we find ourselves in. No matter how discouraged you might feel, God's love is still there. Why? Because neither height nor depth nor anything else in all of creation can separate you from the Father's love. Nothing. To not lose the perspective that His grace, His unmerited favour, surrounds you, covers you, ministers to you 24/7. Regardless of what happened yesterday, regardless of what you might have done during the week, God's grace is still there. It never gives up. To not lose the perspective that we have an inheritance both now and in the future. Inheritance guaranteed through the cross. In fact, I haven't got time to unpack it now, but it's interesting to compare the understanding of inheritance in the New Testament times versus the inheritance we understand today. When we think of inheritance, we think of inheritance when someone passes away and we get the benefits of their estate. But when the Bible in the New Testament talks about inheritance, they actually viewed inheritance based on birth or adoption rather than death. That when you're born or adopted into a family, you get the inheritance of that family straight away. You don't have to wait until death. And exactly what we live under now, right now in God. We have an internal inheritance, our salvation for all eternity. You get to hang out with me and everybody else for the rest of your lives. Woohoo. It's true. But we have an inheritance right now through Jesus. An inheritance that the enemy will try to change our perspective on as much as he can. And the last perspective is this. Jesus is our Lord and is our Saviour, whose victory on the cross allows us to have a personal and intimate relationship with God. So how do we actually respond to discouragement when it happens? I want to share with you this morning things, I'll be honest, I'm still learning myself in my own walk, but things which have really helped me as I've hit those times of discouragement. The first one is this. I hope you can read that. I sort of probably put it over two slides. Keep our eyes on Jesus. Do not take our focus off the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Don't let the discouragement you're feeling become the perspective you face and just look at solely. Look at Jesus. Why? Because it says in Psalm 121, 1-3, I'll lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot stumble, sorry, your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. And the extended version I said before of Graham's scripture last week is this, Hebrews 12, 1-2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Why? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I preached on this a few weeks ago now. It is finished. Weren't words of defeat. They are words of complete victory. Keep our eyes, keep our focus on Jesus. Regardless of what happens or the decisions made this week, keep your eyes on Jesus, church. Secondly, trust in God's plan. Proverbs 3 verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Lean not on your own perspective. They're my words added in, by the way. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. Trust in God, regardless of what isn't seen to be happening, that God is in control. Jeremiah 29 verse 11 says this, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Just to put this scripture in context, because it opens up a much greater understanding when we put it in context, this scripture is actually part of a prophetic word God spoke to the Israelites at the moment when they were in exile. If I've got my history facts correct, I think the tribes were scattered and they desperately needed hope in the future, because what they were currently seeing wasn't what they expected or what they wanted. They needed to know that God had a plan for them, and he told them he did. Why am I sharing that scripture? Because they are the children of God. Guess what? We are also the children of God. If that's the heart of God for the Israelites, that's the heart of God for us. We live under the same inheritance they have. Why? Through the cross again. Third point. Remember, God's ways aren't our ways. Isaiah 55 verse 8 says the following, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Have you ever prayed when you needed an answer from God or a direction or a hope, but as you prayed, you've already worked out in your head how God should answer you? Come on, anyone prepared to be honest? I am. Yep, I've done that. Yep, you already start to map out the best way God needs to move forward. I remember praying it once. I was about 19 years of age. I remember even thinking, gee, God, you better hurry up. This is a good plan. I'm serious. I thought, well, come on, God. Get moving. Guess what? Didn't happen. God's ways aren't our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. His perspective is way beyond what we can see. Why? Because he knows us better than ourselves. We need to trust and remember that his ways are the best ways. A friend of mine gave me a poster. What was it? God's will. Nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. I think that's how it went. And that's the truth. God's way, God's will. The fourth point, come and wait before God. At that moment of discouragement, come and get back before your Father. Why? Because quite often when discouragement happens, particularly if it hangs on for a while, it tires us. It weighs us down. But if we come and wait before God, first and foremost, we're keeping our perspective on Him. But then as we come in that moment of weariness, the Bible says this, Isaiah 40, 28 to 31, I'm sure you know it well. Have you not known, have you not heard, the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. If I ever could be a bird, I seriously would love to be the eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That's the New King James Version. It uses the word in particular, but those who wait on the Lord. Some versions use the word hope. The NIV uses that. Some versions use the word trust. But those who wait on the Lord is actually the Hebrew word kovor. Wait actually is an active word, not a passive word, the interpretation of it. And it means this. Stressing the need to strain in the mind towards a certain direction with an expected attitude, looking forward with an assurance. In other words, it's saying this. Strain your mind towards a certain direction. What? God. Straining because we have to make a choice to do that. Our mind might want to go that way, but we have to strain our mind back to the Father. And it takes effort sometimes. But do it with an expected attitude, looking forward with an assurance that when you do, God will renew your strength. You will mount up with wings as eagles. You shall run and not be weary. You shall walk and not be faint. To me, is that not one of the greatest examples of hope? That God will renew our strength as we wait upon Him, as we actively strain our thoughts and our mind towards Him. Like I said, it's actually an active action, not a passive one. It's not sitting there going, and dare I say, yep, I've done this too. Okay, God, I'm sitting here, I'm waiting. Yep, still waiting. No, that's arrogance. That's looking at yourself. Come and set your face before God and worship Him. And the last point is this one. Remember, our God is faithful. Now, there's a host of scriptures I could have put up here about God's faithfulness. And you all know plenty. But I'll put this one up and I'll tell you why in a minute. Joshua 21 verse 45. Not one of all the Lord's good promises to Israel failed. Every one was fulfilled. Why did I use that one? Because the first time I read Joshua, the book of Joshua, that one scripture stood out to me more than anything else. After everything the Israelites went through, after their times of obedience, after their times of disobedience, after their times of worshipping God and seeking Him, and then turning to other gods and creating their own gods, after all the times of obeying Him and yet disobeying Him, you'd think surely God would give up and move on to somebody else. No. God fulfilled every promise to Israel which He promised. And once again, that's the trust we have to have in God, the faith we have to have in God. He will fulfill everything He sets out to do. It will be fulfilled because He is faithful. Maybe for some of you right now, as I say these words, you struggle with this because your heart or your mind is trying to tell you something different. But, what if? What about? My encouragement to you this morning is this. God understands that. Come back to God and say, God, I don't understand. I do feel discouraged. I am confused. Why is it not working out like I hoped? But God, I'll come back before You again because I trust You because You are faithful. I'll come back to You because You will honour Your word and I know that. I'll come back to you because your ways are not my ways, your thoughts are not my thoughts, because they're much better than mine. I'll come back to you because I will trust your plan regardless of what my heart or my emotions are telling me. Regardless of what my eyes are seeing, I will trust you. And I'll say this again, let us not as a church take our focus off God on whatever happens this week or the weeks to come. Because God is in control. Jesus is Lord, he is King. And nothing can ever change that. I want to show you a clip. We have time for it. It goes for about 3 minutes, then I'll finish up after that. This clip, I always get moved by it when I watch it, and maybe some of you have already seen it. It's not actually necessarily related to what I'm talking about this morning, but it is related to perspective. It's a perspective that we will never, ever have because we aren't God. But it's a perspective that God has. And I hope it encourages you to maybe put in context that his ways, his thoughts are not our thoughts. They are way higher and way further. Can you play that for a second? God's perspective is not limited by space or time. God's perspective is not limited by anything because he is God. He is the creator of heaven and earth. Whatever you're facing right now, if you are feeling discouraged, keep your perspective on God. Because he will fulfill his promises. He is faithful. He is trustworthy. Don't let the enemy steal or change that perspective, because that's exactly what he wants to happen. But he has no authority. He has no power. The only thing he has is a pack of lies in its simplistic form, because he is a liar. And my prayer today for all of us is that we would leave today in the courage and the truth of what God's word says. But we as a church would come with an expectation week after week that God is going to move through this church. That this nation is going to hear the voice of its Father once again. That this nation is going to experience salvation in a way we have never seen before. Why? Because Jesus is Lord and that's what he wants. And he will fulfill his plans and his purpose. And he'll do it through you. And you can sit there and go, oh, but what about, I can't do that. Yes, you can. Why? Because the Holy Spirit dwells within inside of you. The same Holy Spirit which raised Jesus from the dead. The same Holy Spirit that healed the sick. He lives and breathes within inside of you. And God wants us to, as a church, to keep that perspective, not just this day, but every day. Very, very quickly, and I've got a couple of minutes left, but I just want to share this one thing. Jeremiah 29, verse 11, for I know the plans I have you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the truth of your word. Your word brings freedom. Your word brings liberty. Your word brings hope. It brings healing. It brings salvation. God, I pray that us as a church will keep our perspective on you each and every day, both as individuals, but as a collective body as well. We are your church. We are your people. You have a plan, a purpose, and it will be fulfilled. And I pray for those who are feeling discouraged or maybe trying to resolve discouragement from the past or resolve that unanswered hope. Or resolve that unanswered prayer. Father, I ask that you come and restore hope. Restore faith where discouragement has come in. That God, they would see your perspective in a whole new way once again. You do have plans and purposes for every one of us, Lord. And we trust that you will lead us in that, Father. We thank you for that, Lord, in the name of Jesus. The amazing name of Jesus. The name that is above every other name. To be honest, I could say more. I'm going to stop because it's 11:32. But I will say this, church, don't ever give up on God. I feel this is what God wants me to say right now. Don't give up. It's going to happen. God's will be fulfilled. And like God said to Pastor Hal earlier, even more than what we're ever going to expect. And it's going to happen through us, His church.